We come back and look at every year, and every year I think, oh, I'm not going to address the issue, because it's just sometimes not very fun to address the issue of sanctity of human life. And I read an article by Russell Moore, president of our Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, and he titled his article, says, "Why I Hate Sanctity of Human Life Sunday." And I'm like, oh, I can't wait to read this. And I love how he said, he says, "I don't hate Sanctity of Human Life Sunday because I think it is somehow unbiblical." He says, "No, indeed, the entire canon throbs with God's commitment to the fatherless and to the widows, his wrath at the shedding of innocent blood. I don't hate it because I think it's inappropriate. Just as every Lord's Day should be Easter, with the proclamation of the resurrection of Jesus, and Christmas with the announcement of the incarnation, so every Lord's Day should highlight the worth and dignity of human life." He continues on. He says, "I hate Sanctity of Human Life Sunday because I'm reminded that we have to say things to one another that human beings shouldn't have to say." He said, "Mothers shouldn't kill their children. Fathers shouldn't abandon their babies. No human life is worthless, regardless of skin color, age, disability, economic status. The very fact that these things must be proclaimed is a reminder of the horrors of this present darkness." Amen. It truly is sickening that we as a people in our land and in our world have to be reminded that life is precious. We spoke in our Sunday school class as we dealt with this issue this morning about how easy it is to get softened towards people dying. We watched it on the news and it does not have any effect on us. We watch it on television shows with police shows and those things like that, and people are killed all of the time and it's no big deal. Every place that we seem to go, it seems like death is something that just is no big deal. We come together today and we realize that there's many issues that are associated with Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. We will look at today specifically abortion, but we see refugees all over our world and their life. Literally, if you have seen it on the news lately, those little babies and little children that haven't eaten for weeks, and then you see adults because they're refugees fleeing from a land that is controlled by those that want to destroy them. We see the abuse of children. We see human trafficking within our world. We see prostitution. We see slavery. We see terrorism. We see euthanasia. We see the death penalty that is taking place and the issues that are involved with that. Many of these things we can address tonight as we come together and we talk about the message this evening. But each of these things and even more deal with the issue of sanctity of human life. And it's sad that there's so many issues to look at and that life has come to the point that it seems like it is of little value unless it is your own or someone close to you. We know we've got to be involved within it. We realize in World War II, as the Holocaust took place, that Nazi Germany, the first thing that they allowed to take place were those that were the infirm, the senile, the mentally retarded, the aged, the defective children, those that were epileptic, those that had badly modeled ears, even those that were bedwetters were killed. Because nobody was concerned about what was taking place, or the vast majority did nothing. And we see Nazis in Germany that desired to kill up to cut down up to 30 million people. It's the day and age that we live in where there seems to be no thought for life, and there's much discussion about the issue of abortion. It's coming up within the elections this next year. You will hear it over and over and over and over again ad nauseum. As it comes time to the elections, you will hear it again from me, as I always want to go the same way and say, you know what, I don't want to preach on this, but I must. Life is precious. We see within the scripture, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, Moses writes about the beginning. He said, then God said, let us make man after our image, after our likeness. That creation. And he makes us like him. And he sets value on each and every human being that has ever come on the face of the earth. You understand, it's different than the animals. As you look at the animals, they were created, they were formed, and they walked on the earth. But whenever man came along, we see that what happened was he formed the man from the dust of the breath ground and breath into his nostrils, the breath of life. And the man became a living creature, totally different than all the other animals. We see his precious picture of life that he gives to you and to me. Folks, I shared with in our Sunday school class this morning, God loves the animals, and he desires for us to care for them. He has put us in dominion over this whole earth. But he still takes and he places us as human beings above. And he has breathed into us life. Jeremiah 1:5 tells us, says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. We read out of Psalms 139 as we started our services, and you notice that one of the passages that was in that 139th Psalm was that he had taken and he had written out, and he knew before we were ever formed what would take place within our life. It's already written down.
Wow.
So that doesn't mean I have any choices. Oh yeah, it does. He knew exactly the choices that you would make within this life, and they are written down. They are there. Before he formed you in the womb. Folks, life is precious. And God states that over and over and over and over again within the scriptures. Came across an interesting article several years ago. And the question was asked, would you consider having an abortion in any of these circumstances? Situation number one says, a preacher and his wife, they were living in extreme poverty. They have 14 children, and she is pregnant again. Can you imagine 14? Getting ready to have number 15? And you're having a hard enough time feeding 14 with adding one more. Then a 13-year-old African-American girl that is raped by a white man. Third one, a teenage girl that became pregnant, but not by her fiancé. He's very upset. Would you consider an abortion? The article goes on and says, if you had aborted in the first case, you would have killed John Wesley because he was the 15th child that was born. In the second case, you would have killed Ethel Waters, the black gospel singer. And in the third case, you would have killed Jesus of Nazareth. We have no idea what will take place with the lives of children that are born. No idea. God does. As we saw in the 139th Psalm, for you formed me in inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. Now, I've seen some of you in this church that like to knit. I think it's all ladies. And y'all sit there, and I've watched it take place, and it's just amazing and how quick that you are, and you just knit it together. I don't know if you've seen some of the recent pictures of DNA being developed within a cell, and it is just like, it seems like that DNA is being knitted together in the pictures and how that it is produced. Now, it's on a much more rapid pace even than some of you ladies knit. But it's amazing as you look at that and you think about that in comparison to what this psalmist says, David says, you knitted my inward parts. How in heaven's name could he have known anything like that? Except by God. Life. Moses calls us in Deuteronomy 30. He says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. God calls us to choose life. Man, the opportunities that we have, whether it is in abortion, whether it's in euthanasia, whatever opportunities we have to choose life. Now, the issue is not when it becomes life. Science has come along and they have made the evaluation beyond a shadow of a doubt that life begins at conception. It's just, is it life worth saving or not? That becomes the question. Many people say our world is just becoming way too overpopulated. Folks, I don't believe that's so. If you subtract Antarctica out of the landmass of our world, and if you take out all the other lands that would just be uninhabitable, some of the mountains and some of the things like that, and that'd be about 25% of the landmass, there would still be 11 acres apiece to be able to live on. All right, I live on less than that now, and I don't know about y'all, but I got a pretty good place to live across the tracks here. Still don't know if it's the right side of the tracks or the wrong side of the tracks, but a pretty nice place. The opportunities that we have for life. Folks, I'm here to tell you, it just is a real issue of life. And we have what is necessary to be able to sustain life. God has granted that to us within this earth, just to be able to take care of them. People, the amount of food and things that are available, it's amazing. Even within our nation, they call some farmers not to farm all that they can because of the abundance that takes place. Many say, well, if we have children, they're just not taken care of. Folks, I'm here to tell you, you just watched Choices for Women video. Didn't that encourage you? I'm here to tell you what an exciting thing, one of the most evangelistic efforts that we have as an association of churches is Choices for Women. Over 30 people were saved in their ministry last year as they shared the gospel over and over and over again. They had countless babies that were saved. I remember a couple of years ago, probably 4 or 5 years ago, I walked into their old building bringing in baby bottles to them. And I walked in there and they had a little bitty office that was a little bit smaller than this stage. And they had about 6 women sitting there holding babies, sitting there and playing with them while their mothers were off in another place learning how to raise their families, sharing the gospel with them, whatever was necessary or whatever they needed that day. I'm here to tell you, I just wanted to walk around and start singing after I saw all those babies just bouncing around with these ladies that were taking care of them that very well could have been killed. What a joy it was to see that. And it's taking place in New Albany, Indiana. I encourage you to take those baby bottles, give to them. You notice I put in the bulletin, I encourage you to write checks. Richard Williard for years has been the one that has counted that money. He's over 80 years old, and he takes and he carries those bags. Those bags are heavy. I've carried them to them. They're heavy for me. I can't imagine what they're like for him, although he probably won't be counting. He just had surgery Thursday, and his wife looked at me. I saw her and said, you know what he's upset about most is he doesn't get to count the money out of the bottles. But the opportunity to be able to minister to those. And we care for them and we don't just leave them. Say, hey, don't abort your baby. Have a good life. We help them. Amen? That's the way to do it. That's the way it is supposed to be done. Care for children. I'm trying to figure out where to put this, Becky, because it keeps coming up. She told me she had a text came up from somebody, a young lady, and I don't know where to put it, so I'm going to just put it. She got a text from a young lady this week that she had received $350 for an abortion, and she had to come up. She needed $350 more, and she's asking Becky to help her. It's real. That's this week in our church. There's people trying to help them get it. Shouldn't we try to help them not? What a privilege we have to be a part of that. Now, there's those that say, well, you know, there's just no place to take care of. You know what? There's people all over the world desiring to adopt children. Some of the sad things is just literally how much that it cost to do it. But there are people everywhere wanting to adopt them, whether they have disabilities, whether that they think that they're going to be born and die within a few weeks or a few minutes or a few months. It does not matter what the issue is within their life. There are those that will care for them if they live to be old age if it's necessary, or those that will die in the matter of a few days. Because life is precious. It really, really is. You know, so many people, they say, you know what, life, there's just, we just shouldn't choose life because that baby's going to be inconvenient. All right, let's get real. There's no such thing as a baby that's not inconvenient. Amen? Anybody ever had one? I'm here to tell you, they wake you up at the most inconvenient times, and don't worry, it will continue on throughout life some way or another. They might get to where they'll let you sleep at night, maybe, but they still will be inconvenient in many different ways. But what a blessing they are. Scripture says, blessed are those that have a quiver full of them, a whole lot of them, of the arrows as they were getting ready to shoot. Blessed are you if you got a bunch. All right? They are true blessings from the living God. Many times people say, well, you know what? They have got issues and problems that they need to be aborted. Folks, I'm here to tell you, first of all, the doctors aren't always right. I've seen it before. But you know what? Even if they have Down syndrome or spina bifida, or if they have AIDS, or if they have drug addiction problems when they are born, they deserve life and the privilege of life. The sad thing is that it's come to the point that sometimes they say, you know what, they're just not even the proper sex, and we wanted a boy instead of a girl, so it's time for an abortion, or vice versa. Getting to the point of that type of selection, some people have come along and said, well, you know what, it's even for the, what about for the health of the mother? And folks, I'm here to tell you, if it's the health of the mother, I do not like it at all, but I will support it. But Dr. C. Everett Koop, former Surgeon General of the United States, and was an obstetrician as in his practice, he said never did a case come across his practice where abortion was necessary to save a mother's life. Obstetrician, 35 years practice. Folks, it's amazing the technology that is available today and what takes place and how what can be done to be able to save babies' lives. Folks, it amazes me. I remember before David and Michaela were born, and I shared in Sunday school class, I got this little black and white picture. And I asked in my Sunday school class, I can't, it's been too long, I didn't remember when they took that, and they told me it's about 20 weeks. And I saw the first picture of David. He is ugly. Sorry, Dave. Michaela was pretty. But I could see my kids. And they're human. And they're real. Then I remember the picture of Michaela in a little red suit and David with a little bear, the first picture we took of each of them. And just still precious photos to me. And 30 hours before those photos had been taken, it's perfectly legal in some states to kill them. Sickening. Some people say, yes, the health of the mother. But listen to the words of Sarah Rosenthal. She's professor of bioethics at the University of Kentucky. She wrote a book called The Fertility Source Book. And she writes, she says, as a staunch pro-choice advocate, delivering this news to you is all the more difficult. Some women may have made a different choice about having an abortion if they were given all the facts. In reality, 1/3 of all infertile women have had an abortion at some point in their lives. Perhaps more women should be lobbying for informed choice, not just pro-choice. Amazing. Did you hear that? 1/3 of women that are trying to get pregnant, have infertility problems, have had abortions. And this is a lady that's sitting here and going, I am unashamedly pro-choice, but the whole facts are not being disclosed. And she is obviously giving the picture that 1/3 of those women are having problems because of abortions. Folks, other health issues that are involved, you can go look them up, find them on the internet. I'll give you resources, things of that nature. We'll look at a little bit of it tonight if you would like to. Life, it is precious. It really, really is. How seriously does God take this issue? You see, in Exodus chapter 21, he says, when men strive together and hit a pregnant woman, so that her children come out, but there is no harm, the one who hit her shall surely be fined as a woman's husband shall impose on him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. But if there is harm, then you shall pay life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, and stripe for strife. Stripe. She loses her baby. What can happen? In the Old Testament, it was the death penalty. Now, we don't practice that today. Unless what? You kill a woman that is pregnant, and what can you be charged with? Two homicides. Or two manslaughters. Even the law sees it. I wonder where it comes from. Scripture. Life is sacred. Now, folks, people say, you know what? You say that, but the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. It's very interesting. This is the chapter right after Moses wrote, thou shalt not kill, as the Ten Commandments is coming down. And this is God continuing with the law in chapter 21. Jesus says, thou shalt not kill, but what? You take life, and what happens? The taking of life. Life is sacred. And that's what he's saying. People say, well, you know what? It's not sacred. Life isn't being sacred if you take life. No, it's saying life is so sacred that if you take it, it requires yours. Difficult. But you see the price and what he says and how important life is. How do you see life? You know, so many times we get so flippant about life you hear people sometimes, you know, just when they're angry, say, oh, I could just kill you. Well, yeah, that's what anger will do. To the nth degree, as a matter of fact, it says if you've hated in your heart, you have committed murder. That's where it goes. But when we take and we speak even that flippantly, we are not seeing life as precious. It's amazing. September 11th, 2001, we saw over 3,500 lives taken from us. Anybody remember that day? I remember it like it was yesterday. I remember that night like it was yesterday. I was mad. I was upset that somebody would have the audacity to harm our country that way and kill people like that. Just could not believe it. I didn't sleep that next night. I was so upset. Do you know what happened on September 12th? 4,000 babies were aborted. You know what happened on September 13th and 14th and 15th and 16th? On average, 4,000 babies a day. We've got to be involved. Those things come up like what happened with Becky. You've got to stand and share lovingly and kindly. Folks, don't be arrogant about it. Can you understand why somebody would get in a position and would want to be out of it? I can. Sure, I understand. Like I said, sometimes they are inconvenient. It's not a good time. It's too early in life. It's not going to fit in with what my plans were for life. It's more kids than I intended to have. You can think of all reasons you can understand the justification. Put yourself in their shoes and lovingly, kindly, and gently counsel them about life. I've shared with you this story before, but I can't help but to do it again. Older lady at my last church, she was, I buried her, she was pushing 80. And she was saved about 6 years before she died. And we had shared with Christ with her several times, and over and over and over we'd shared the gospel with her. And she just said, "The Lord cannot forgive me." And I looked at her over and over again. I said, "Yes, He can, and He will, and He desires to." And she would just say, "The Lord cannot forgive me." Finally, there was a time we were sharing the gospel with her, me and another person, and shared the gospel. And I'm not one that does this kind of thing normally, but as we walked out of her house, I looked at her and I said, "God's going to get your attention." And I left, and I was pretty ticked. She had refused the gospel again. She'd been on my heart and another lady within our church, and I was just aggravated with her. And we left the house, and that night, I think Debbie's, I believe, grandfather passed away, and we got a call. We're getting ready to head back home for the funeral and arrangements and all that stuff. So we're getting ready to head out of the town. I get a call, and this lady has been taken to the emergency room with a heart attack. And I walked into her intensive care unit knowing, you know, I've got to get down the road, but I'm going to talk to this lady. And I looked at her square in the eye and I said, "Has God gotten your attention yet?" And she dropped that head of hers and she said, "Brother Steve, He's got my attention." She accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and her personal Savior in that hospital room. A year or so later, I was talking to her after she'd been baptized and followed the Lord and being obedient, radiant like you wouldn't believe. She understood the forgiveness and she explained to me the reason that she would not accept Christ. It was because when she was young, she'd had an abortion. Now understand, she was pushing 80. This was far before Roe v. Wade. So she had an illegal abortion. And she had had that cloud hanging over her head for probably 50 years. She was miserable. She accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and personal Savior and experienced the forgiveness that God gave. Debbie knows who I'm talking about. And she was just radiant after that because she knew the forgiveness of God. And she knew those things that I'd been telling, and she wouldn't even tell me what had taken place because she was embarrassed. And she understood what God could do for her in her life. Please don't be judgmental towards those that may have made that decision. Understand the situation that could have been taking place or what might have taken place does not justify it, but helps you understand it. You see, the Lord will forgive our sin if we confess it to Him. Folks, you say, that's just me whenever I've done something small. No, that's whenever you have done something even as murder. and he forgives. Please, no, realizing, looking out over this room, whenever a third of the women within our country have had abortions, the chances are there's somebody in this room that has. And it keeps beating on your head and your mind, and it keeps going over and over and over again. Understand the forgiveness of the living God. He will forgive. He does forgive. I'm so grateful I serve a God that loves us enough to forgive us even when we mess up and sin. Where are you today? Some of you may be sitting there and you may not be Christians. And you say, well, you know what? I haven't done anything like that. Yeah, you have. Like I said, if you've hated in your heart, same thing as a murderer. If you've looked at someone with lust in your heart, you're an adulterer or adulteress. I mean, there's not a sin that is within the Scripture, and especially of the Ten Commandments, that we have not committed. Not one. And the Bible says the wages of that sin is death. We deserve a place called hell because of our sin. But Scripture says the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. It is a gift that is freely given. How was it done? It's because Jesus went to the cross. He paid the price for our sin. He showed His love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, He died for us. He paid for that sin that we have committed within our life. You say, well, I'm not that bad of a sinner. Yeah, you are. If you've sinned 3 times a day for all of your life, take 1,000 times and multiply it by how many years you've been alive. I've sinned at least 49,000 times. And my wife will tell you that's conservative. We're sinners saved by a gracious God that sent His Son to die on the cross and pay the price for our sin. Maybe you're here today and you need to do that. Scripture tells us as you accept that, you repent. You turn away from your sin. You want Jesus to be the Lord of your life, the master of your life, the boss of your life. Some people say, you know what, I accept Jesus as my Savior, but I don't want anything to do with that boss part. Folks, I'm here to tell you, that is not salvation. You accept Him, there's that repentance change that happens within your life. You say, preacher, I cannot change. You cannot. But as you accept Christ by faith, He gives you the strength to change. Because you want Him to be the master, the boss, the Lord of your life. And maybe today you need to come and accept Him. You confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead. You will be saved. Will you come and accept Him as Savior today? It doesn't matter what you have done. Come confessing that you're a sinner and accepting Him today. Where are you? Christian, where are you, one that has not accepted Christ? Is today the day? Scripture says now is the accepted time of salvation. Will you respond to His invitation on your heart? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word that You've given to us. Father, I pray for those that are in this room that may have gone through the horror of abortion, that may even be guilty of it. And they feel the guilt on their hearts right now. But Father, I pray they know Your forgiveness, Your grace, and Your mercy. And Father, that they realize that there would be those that come beside them that will not judge them, but will understand them and love them and encourage them and help them to live a life that honors You and glorifies You. Father, we pray for those in this room that don't know You as Savior. And Father, I pray that Your Holy Spirit will convict them of their sin and of their need of knowing You as Savior today. Father, we ask that You guide, direct in this time of invitation this morning, for it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Will you stand?